We need it, we want it, vacation, we own it, surf, beach, palm trees, got no worries,
but it's still okay, cause I'm on vacation.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Olivia and I have kind of run the gambit here on the show today. We talked about car rentals, some of those questions that we kind of ask because we're not sure, but we're even suggesting that you should ask in some cases. And then we have suggested a great place to go for the upcoming holiday or really any time of the year, Olivia. I mean, Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, keep on summering now, but I say just keep on keeping on throughout the year.
It's like we said, they're a hidden gem, and we spent a whole segment talking about all the great things you can do there.
So many great things to do. But, you know, we have a new project that we're doing, so I want to shift gears over to that because we really want people to know about this. It's not really new, not really, because it's our quarter mile segment that we've been doing for over a year and a half now. We did it most of last year and into this year. This year is kind of coming down to, you know.
It really
is.
It's
getting close. So we can almost start saying we've been doing it for 2 years. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So we were inspired by the U.S. Mint State Quarter Program. And we looked at the design on the back of every state quarter and planned travel around that design. And that was what we did in our quarter mile segment, which, by the way, we still have quite a few states to cover. So we're not done with that either.
Yeah.
But this year we decided to take it a step further and look into the stories behind the designs. I mean, how did these particular designs become the representation of their state?
Yes.
And what was that process like?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've only just started with the podcast, which we're calling Quarter Miles Travel. And we've already uncovered some really fascinating stories.
We really, really have. And as you mentioned, Olivia, I mean, we're inspired by the quarters because when you flip them over, I think a lot of times, you know, we're looking at it and we're like, well, what does that mean to that state? Or did that happen in that state? So it does cause you to ask some more questions. So if you're asking those questions, we think you should travel there and go see about why those things are
absolutely
on the back of the quarter.
And so I think the podcast is a great tool so that when you actually visit the particular places that we talk about, you kind of feel more of the story, more of the significance.
Exactly, exactly. And we're just starting this podcast. So the podcast is new, and we'd love for people to come and listen along because on Quarter Miles on the radio show on here, we've kind of given some of the facts, kind of,
right.
You know. When did the quarter, you know, come into circulation? You know, who did the design? Those kind of things that are important as well. But now we are digging deeper and we're finding these stories, as you mentioned. And we so far have covered North Carolina was our first. We launched with North Carolina. Georgia, our home state here, and Maine have been the three that we've covered. So you see, it is brand new. But let's talk a little bit just about what we've covered. Like North Carolina was a lot of fun to cover that one.
And honestly, it's really fitting that we started with North Carolina because the design on the back of the quarter is the Wright brothers' first flight, which took place on December 17th, 1903. So our first flight with the podcast was about the Wright brothers' first flight.
Exactly.
And what we learned was that it took a really long time for the Wright brothers to gain the recognition they deserved in the United States. And if it weren't for the really just a handful of witnesses who were there that morning and a very nervous life-saving station guard who took that famous photograph, which actually is the design on the back of the quarter. It's based on that photograph. Who knows if they would have ever received proper acknowledgement for their accomplishments because those were their only, you know, shreds of evidence that this actually happened.
You're right about that. I mean, it could just become like a legend that these guys did this, but never really able to be proved or go down in history as something that, you know, you can come back, take a look at, and have something that's evidence there, as you mentioned. And we talked with Danny Couch, who's a historian of the Hatteras Island Lighthouse there and that whole area, and he actually runs a tour company there. So he was the perfect person to share the history. And when you go and listen to this podcast and listen to Danny, you can just see his passion about keeping that history alive.
Absolutely. And he has a great connection to the Hatteras Lighthouse, but also to the Wright brothers. He is very passionate about it. And he told us about why the Wright brothers, who were born and raised in Ohio, chose Kitty Hawk, of all places, as the spot to conduct their experiments. How the Kitty Hawk residents reacted to the Wright brothers being there, because they spent quite a few years there and they were conducting what probably looked really strange
right
to the people at the time.
They were probably coming just to see, what are those two boys up to over there? Just to check it out and kind of see, you know, exactly what was going on. But as you mentioned as well, you know, the photographer there who kind of captured it all, there were lots of people that were coming and helping out. So it was really good to hear that story, because you just usually hear kind of the basics of, you know, the Wright brothers and the date and, you know, that the flight was actually successful after a couple of tries. But Danny really shared with us a lot of the behind the scenes things that were going on.
Yes, and it was cool to learn that some of the witnesses' descendants still live in the area and they continue to honor the Wright brothers. And we were really surprised to learn the story of how that famous photograph almost didn't happen. And that was, you know, that flight was really at the very last minute, considering all of the circumstances going on in the Wright brothers' life. So you have to hear all those details on the podcast episode.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot going on that day. Now, we were really surprised, our state quarter, because I remember when we first started the quarter mile segment on the radio, we started with Georgia. We kind of looked at each other.
It's
we
like,
said,
Peach.
So what? We love Jay Moore's here in our area. So we go there all the time to get peaches and, you know, peach cider and all those kind of things, peach pies, peach ice cream. All those things are great things you can get at Jay Moore's. And Jay Moore's has some activities and things that you can do throughout the year there as well. But we were like, well, peaches, how can we have tourists come and see peaches? But we uncovered some really fascinating information about the Georgia peach.
We did. I think one of the questions we asked was, how did Georgia peach become an expression? Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? Why is it Georgia? So the rise of peach culture can actually be traced back to one man, a Belgian immigrant named Prosper J. Berkmans, who fostered hundreds of peach varieties on his farm, mailed his catalogs all over the world, and put Georgia on the map for shipping peaches up and down the East Coast. And he's called the father of peach culture, but actually not much is known about him.
And that is still a mystery to me, why, you know, with all the things that he did, especially around growing peaches, why he isn't more well-known. Now, you guys, you're listening to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, and Olivia and I are talking about our podcast, Quarter Miles Travel, that we're so excited about. And right now, we're talking about Georgia, so you guys listening, you might have some answers to this with us all being Georgians here, because, Olivia, that is just still very fascinating to me, that the city of Augusta, which is where the Berkmans fruit farm was, isn't more celebratory of that whole history.
Exactly. So not only do we not know much about someone who is called the father of peach culture in the peach state, but we also have learned a shocking piece of history that his nursery and his family manor are now the property of the most famous golf course in the world.
Yes, Augusta National, where the Masters is played.
Augusta National. So to make this story even more puzzling, we actually found most of the information through the website of a vodka brand. Fruitland Augusta is now a vodka brand that exclusively uses Georgia peaches, and it was created by a former journalist and brand developer named Yuri Kato. And Yuri was always fascinated by Georgia peach culture, so she dedicated 4 years of research to uncovering perhaps the true origin of the phrase Georgia peach. So it was just fascinating to pick Yuri's brain. And, you know, she had to translate a lot of journals, go back to those really primary sources, because so little is readily available.
Readily available for it. And just the fascinating part to me was to learn that Mr. Berkman actually is the one who came up with the variety of the Georgia Bell and the Alberta, which we consider to be the Georgia peaches. But now we're running down to the end of the segment. We can't end without talking about our third episode of our podcast, which is Maine, the Maine Quarter. We had so much fun there, Olivia. We had to break it up into two episodes. So actually, we have 4 episodes that we've actually produced.
Yes.
But we were so excited about it, because on the back of the Maine Quarter,
we see a lighthouse atop a rocky cliff and a free-masted ship sailing on the waters beneath. And we were able to travel to Maine, see this lighthouse, which is called Pemaquid Point Light, and sail on the ship that kind of helped inspire that design. And it's called the Victory Chimes. The Victory Chimes is the only 3-masted windjammer left, the only one of its kind.
The only one of its kind, and the captain is also the owner. He had another captain owner, but we had a chance to sail with the captain named Captain Kit Fowles, who is, he brings it all to life. I mean, just to sit and listen to his stories, as we all did, not just only Olivia and I, but everyone on the cruise, we sat and listened to his stories, which were just fascinating. And just even his voice, I mean, he just sounds like a captain of a ship.
And what people may not know is that these windjammers helped really build industry in the country. They were the ones that transported lumber down those narrow waterways along the port cities, and they helped build the United States.
That is absolutely the truth. And hey, I say go and sail on one of them. And if you go to Maine and try and take in the state quarter, you can absolutely do it very easily by stopping at the lighthouse, going on and sailing on the Victory Chimes. Now, you can check out all of this, hear the episodes and everything on travelbagswithanita.com and go to the page that is called Quarter Miles Travel. You'll see it right there clearly. It bounces right out at you. So thanks for joining us today, guys. We love talking about all of the different things today, and hopefully you've gotten some pointers from it. And join us again when we come back with more tips and destinations here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.